Hello, my name is Junie, and welcome to the Theta Game Podcast. I'm not a financial advisor, and nothing I say is financial advice. I'm just a normal retail trader, just like you. I'm not certified or a graduate of finance, just a trader that started on Wall Street Bets years ago. I've lost a lot of money and made all of it back and more after finding a system that worked for me. You can view all my trades for free at thetagang.com/Junie, no signup required, and email me any questions that I'll answer on the podcast at junie@thetagang.com. Lastly, I stream on Twitch every weekday at least an hour at 9 a.m. Pacific time. Come hang out, ask me questions, vent, or just chill. It's a positive environment, and everyone is welcome at twitch.tv/realthetagang. I've been using the TastyTrade trading platform since I started my ThetaGang journey 5 years ago, and it feels surreal that I've partnered with TastyTrade so I can focus on bringing you guys and girls the content. If you'd like to sign up and use TastyTrade for your trading journey, you can use my link in the show description or use the ThetaGang referral code, that's one word, all caps, when signing up. I use TastyTrade every Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific time, where I chat and trade with viewers live every morning. Go again to twitch.tv/realthetagang if you're interested, join the chatter and morning hangout. Thank you, and I hope you enjoy today's episode. All right. Today is November 14th, 2024. It's 2:57 p.m. my time, Pacific time. So it's been almost 2 hours since the market's closed. It seems like the market is maybe showing signs of cooling off. You know, it seems like the last 2 or 3 days, SPY and QQQ have been trending down, but very, very slightly. It's been trading more flat then down after we've gone up so high. So it'd be a little bit early to call this a correction or really even a dip. But we're seeing the sort of bull run where it was just mania sort of cool down. And we'll just get into today's topic. Diverging stocks, or you know, stocks within the same industry that have like opposite price movements. You know, typically when two stocks are in the same industry and are very similar, we think of like Uber and Lyft and maybe Home Depot and Lowe's, we would think like when the environment is very bullish for ride sharing, both Uber and Lyft would be up, and maybe home improvement is popular again or home sales go up, that Home Depot and Lowe's goes up as well. This is true for most cases. You know, it's also why stocks within maybe the same ETF, you know, when ETFs are categorized by their industry, a lot of the time when the ETF is up, it's also because a lot of its brothers and sister companies in the ETF are also up, and vice versa when it's down. So stocks within the same industry tend to follow each other. You can imagine that like a lot of EV stocks would be down if, for example, the tax credit for EV cars went away, because that's just overall bad for EVs. So taking that into consideration, stocks in the same industry should follow each other more or less. Maybe there's like an outlier move of like this company doing like X amount better or X amount worse. And so it doesn't go up as much when everything is up, but it doesn't necessarily go down when the rest of the market or rest of the industry goes up. One of the key moves that helped me accelerate my profit loss this year was noticing the divergence between NVIDIA and AMD. NVIDIA, I think, is very famous among a lot of stock traders and investors right now as being the number one trade for AI, simply because they build the best chip and have the greatest technology to enable AI. So it's almost as similar as selling the shovel or pickaxe in a gold rush. Runner-up or second place is commonly viewed as AMD, Advanced Micro Devices. Great CEO, just like NVIDIA. Great technology, just a bit further behind. And a bit is relative, just depending on how knowledgeable you are of the area. It wasn't until I'd say maybe like April of this year, when all the stocks went down heavily for the first time. This year, stocks have gone down big two times. One time in April and the other time in August. And since that big drop in April, NVIDIA has maintained and grew its lead over AMD. The market chose that NVIDIA was the absolute better investment than AMD. No matter how much the technology was changed, or maybe shifts in business practices or business metrics, the market absolutely favored NVIDIA. That being said, like over the course of the rest of the year, NVIDIA grew by a large margin. We're talking about like triple digit percentage growth. At a certain point, NVIDIA was up 137% and AMD was only up 4%. And that's a huge difference. That is basically being on par with inflation or doubling your money. And because of that difference, the sooner you were able to catch on this divergence, the better. And I think a lot of my success this year was due to me leaning more into NVIDIA than AMD, because previously I used to split my trading up with NVIDIA and AMD about 50-50. In fact, I would hold on to AMD shares a lot of time because a lot of my cash secured puts would be assigned, and I'd have to hold on to the stock and sell covered calls. But something about this year really tipped me off about just investing into the stock that is number one, like paying the extra for the premium, or rather getting paid for the extra premium for being the number one company. It took a lot of the guessing off the table because I don't have to buy into a underdog story of a company turnaround of the second place becoming number one. Rather, I'm just going to invest in the number one and just pay a little bit more for the premium. Maybe it requires more money to trade, ties up more capital, but it gives me peace of mind that my stock that I'm picking, aka NVIDIA, doesn't have anything to prove. And as I was reflecting on this, it has a lot of parallels with how I view the price to earnings ratio for companies. I personally think that if your company that you're investing in or trading in has a negative P/E ratio, or aka it doesn't have one because it has no earnings, therefore you're dividing by zero, then really it has a lot to prove. It has to prove that it can make a profit, that it can grow, and that it's not expensive. There are so many things that are baked into not having a P/E ratio that you just don't have to worry about if whatever you're trading has a P/E ratio that is decent and is reasonable to you. It requires less guessing. Often when I talk on the stream, that's 9 a.m. Pacific time at twitch.tv/realthetagang, I talk about how pros in fighting games try to avoid the 50-50 scenario. And I'm pretty sure there's you know, parallels to this in poker and a lot of other game theory. But the better you are than someone else, and this could be you versus the market or you versus another trader, the less times you want to get into a 50-50 scenario. Because you don't want to have to guess, right? You don't want to have to guess on a 50-50 when, you know, over time you are just better than a 50-50 probability. Rather, you want to make sure that, you know, your cash secured put that you're selling that has a 70% probability of profit maintains that 70%. You don't want to mess that 70% up by trading a stock that is losing, very volatile, that has to bounce, that you have to catch a knife in. You don't want to be messing up a good probability of profit percentage scenario like a CSP by opening a CSP in a dangerous or unsafe or something that has to be proven stock. And that's mainly how I felt about AMD. You know, earlier this year, I had taken a loss on AMD, one of my biggest losses actually, like I think ever, which is not typical of me. I don't usually sell for a loss. Like when I do, it's a pretty big deal. I'm trying to find it. Give me one sec. Where is it? Back in August, I had realized a loss on my AMD shares, of like 200 shares, sold them at a loss for $4,300. And honestly, yeah, I was just at that point just babysitting my shares, just watching it bleed the entire time. I had bought in at around 171, eventually sold them for 150 or 149.96. And I remember just this entire time I was babysitting these shares, I was just trading Nvidia like as aggressively as I could, because it was just so much more obvious of a better trade than AMD. AMD had so much to prove. All the sort of like FinTwit and slash gurus and all these YouTube Reddit people are just always talking about like, oh, get in while AMD while it's cheap, and it just never turned around. And the quicker you were able to detect this pattern where, hey, AMD and NVIDIA are pretty close in what they do, pretty close, right? Being number one and number two, you had to have seen the gap between the technology and just how much more positive light was given onto NVIDIA to not trade AMD, right? There are a lot of cases where diversification isn't amazing. Right, like I think Mark Cuban is kind of famous for diversification. I lean into that pretty heavy. Like I think that's a really great sort of mindset, especially for smaller portfolios. But like, believe it or not, I think you're not in a position to diversify when you're small. If you're on a fund account, okay, when you're trying to actually grow the thing, if you want to just financially be diverse and grow and be boring, just put in SPY. It's already diverse enough for you. But yeah, when you want to actually grow an account in a individual portfolio, I'm talking like not in an IRA, not in a 401k, not in an HSA, something that's like for fun and you're actually trying to get good at this thing, at this hobby that we all love and enjoy, I think diversification for the sake of diversification is not amazing. I think it's easy to just preach that, hey, diversification, yeah, we all love it. We also all love stop losses. We also love buying the dip. We also love doing all these things that are so easy to like as a tweet on Twitter. But like real experience from me taking my 5K account to 9.7K, like I think diversification is not necessary. Like I've fundamentally proven that. It's taken me like 120 plus trades to get from 5K to 9.7, but that was an excellent journey, and I'll probably do a retrospective there. But yeah, just going back to my whole NVIDIA and AMD divergence sort of topic, if you had diversified your NVIDIA and AMD, whatever you had put into AMD would have just grown at like 4%. Everything you put into NVIDIA would have doubled. So take into consideration, like if you're diversifying just for the sake of diversifying, I think it's not good. If you had a bullish thesis on AMD and you wanted a part of AMD, I think that's better. But really, if you're just going to diversify, I think an ETF just might be better for you. And there's ETFs of different industries. Like there's a SMH, which is a ETF of semiconductors, and they have stocks held of AMD, NVIDIA, Broadcom, like you name it. Like that's diversification built in for you. But you know, this was a very tough lesson for a lot of people. A lot of people, I think, are continuing to catch the knife on AMD. AMD sits at, I don't know, or just a new low, seems like every day, can't catch a break. But again, the sooner you're able to find the divergence, the moment when NVIDIA was the clear-cut winner and you switched from putting your money into AMD and put into NVIDIA, you would have been off a lot better this year. And this likely brings up the question like, okay, Junie, I buy into this idea of divergence and I want to be on the lookout for when this happens. Like, how did you figure out that NVIDIA and AMD were diverging and how can I do that? And that comes down to what I alluded to in my YouTube video that I released. And it's about your watch list. Keep your watch list really tidy. Like, if you haven't like taken stuff out of your watch list in like months or, you know, even weeks, I think that's a bit too long. I think you need to go in there and clean things up a bit. There's probably a lot of stuff and a lot of clutter in there that have stocks that you don't care about anymore. And when you're able to like whittle down your watch list into these few select stocks, it makes detecting these patterns for you a lot easier. I don't have some like systematic way or some fancy subscription or anything crazy. I just noticed on my watch list, because I have them organized. I have a watch list for semiconductor stocks. I have a watch list for defense. I have a watch list for meme stocks. I have all these like curated watch lists where I can just see like, hey, AMD is the only red stock of all my semiconductor stocks that I'm looking at. There's something up. And then that happened like more than a few days in a row. It felt like almost weeks. And you see that in the charts. And so when you pick up on these patterns and you're finally tired of like, okay, you know what? I'm going to just close out of this for a loss. I'm going to stop trading this, which worked immensely. And then you put that money into what is currently winning. Trend is your friend. Buy high, sell higher, that type of mentality, the better. But that only comes from making sure that your watch lists are tidy. There are tons of stocks, I'm sure, that you no longer care about in your watch list, your option screeners, your really just anything else on how you look at stocks. Maybe it's your like alert criteria. Just make sure it's tidy. It's about stuff that you care about and you're able to pick up on these patterns more frequently, especially if you trade a certain industry like I do. I'm very heavy into semis. And lastly, you have like a hunch. You know, you have a hunch that, oh, AMD has gone down a lot and NVIDIA has gone up a lot. Where can I view this? Like, where's the best place for me to actually confirm this divergence happening? My favorite place by a long shot is Google Finance. I think they have the best UI for it, and it's my favorite place to do it right now. But Google Finance is amazing. So you go to google.com/finance/quote/, for example, like AMD, and it'll bring up this really nice UI where you could add comparisons that you could click on, and then you could put as many stocks as you want basically on one chart, and it gives you the percentage gain, and you get to really, really get to see like, wow, dude, I wish I could show you what this looked like. Of course, if you're driving, keep your eyes on the road, but it's just incredible how early I was able to detect this and then just act on it. Because yeah, after I had figured that NVIDIA is going to maintain its lead and grow it, I slammed so many trades into NVIDIA. It was crazy. And of course, as always, you're free to stop by the Twitch stream, ask me questions. And there I also show off my profit loss, right? Like what is the point in me saying anything on the podcast, talking about my favorite strategies, or like trying to help everyone here, if I don't show my profit loss, if I don't show you how I do things, if I don't show you how my profit loss is broken down? If you come to the stream, you'll see me very frequently in the beginning of the stream. I just do a quick flash of my profit loss per company, just so that the VOD watchers or anyone that's interested can scroll back and then pause and get a good view of it. But right now, yeah, NVIDIA is my number one stock for this year. Of the 79.991 $1,000 that I made this year, $37,000 of that was made by NVIDIA, followed by Robinhood as my second best and Costco as my third best. But NVIDIA is my most popular stock by far. And I really do attribute the recognition of the divergence for that. I think I could have lost a lot of money on AMD had I continued trading it. Fortunately for me, I am positive on AMD for the year of just $3,300. But yeah, just really proud of how I was able to execute and hopefully finish the year off strong. I'm honestly hoping that AMD shows some form of life. But I'm personally treating it as a situation where I don't want to be the hero. I'm open to other people being the hero and getting a better deal than me. But I'm waiting for an uptrend to form first for AMD. Otherwise, and this is how I close off today's episode, I'll leave the guessing for the people that want to invest in AMD first. But I'm going to choose a stock that doesn't make me guess because of how well it's done so far. trend is your friend, and I am down to buy high and sell higher. It doesn't matter to me because I know that my trade management, my risk management is adequate. I think I've weathered the April scare of this year pretty well. I also navigated the August scare of this year pretty well too. And yeah, that's it. Sometimes all you need is a little bit of dumb conviction to help you trade. I think me looking at the divergence between AMD and NVIDIA is not very scientific. You know, I see NVIDIA start beating AMD, so I start trading NVIDIA more. It sounds so simple, but it's simple stuff like that that can give you the edge when you're trying to really hone in on a strategy, right? There's no good use in picking a strategy and then picking bad stocks. You want your stocks to be good and of quality, so your strategy that you pick has the best chance to do well. Of course, if your strategy is bearish, then maybe you pick the worst stocks, but you guys know what I mean. The best stocks for that strategy. If I'm doing cash secured puts, I don't necessarily mind if the stock is expensive. I just mind if the stock is dangerous, if it's very volatile, which NVIDIA could be at times. But if I'm comparing writing a CSP on something that's falling like AMD versus something that's rising like NVIDIA, I would much rather just participate in the uptrend with NVIDIA than try to catch the knife with a CSP on AMD. Thank you. From what just started out as just an idea, then learning how to trade options, then building a logging platform, then partnering with TasyTrade is so surreal to me. If you'd like to trade on TasyTrade, you can see the show description from my referral link or use ThetaGain referral code, one word, all caps, when signing up to help me and support the website, podcast, and stream. This podcast, the website, and stream are all made possible because of my patrons at patreon.com/ThetaGain. Signing up helps keep the services up and alive, as well as pay my own personal bills. I do the podcast, website, and stream full-time as my primary source of income. I feel grateful to be able to do this full-time and focus on providing the best service possible for free. The podcast, website, and stream are all free, and it'll stay that way. Signing up for Patreon gives you a few perks, though, so check it out again at patreon.com/ThetaGain if you're interested in helping support. Want to give a shout out to my patrons here that make it all possible. That's Fancy Wolf, Los Pepes, Upstream Puddle, Insys88, Jimmy Gill, Espresso Bean, Joe Quirt, EDC, Trevella, Desserts, Nala, J Prickens86, Ben Z, T Wall 3252, LPL, Alexander Kerm, Slow Motion. Happy birthday, by the way. Rustier, Steve Katzy, The Jester, Turfed, Gruffalo, Young Rich, John Din, Chicken Dinner, Kaput, Kamikaze Paco, Coop, Sumatrix, Statistically Random, Turbo Ricky, Luca Badur, Maestro XC, Banadushi, Theta Collector, Tyler LM97, Lord Skeletor, Major, Tickle Me Elmo, Avrilian, RF Schmitty, Y-Teen, Denume 9000, McFly, Husk P, Mr. Integrity, Rooster, Big Dillo, Ginger Minaru, Loido, Bearded Savage, Denghai, Clutch, Suede Slides, Arfman, Mememem, MX7, Vegeta Plank, Can't Make Money, IRL, Handy, and Maltman, 1856. You're probably wondering why I'm saying that so slow. And dude, I just had a moment where I felt like I needed a bite to eat or something, because I've been cutting weight this week. I have a competition on Sunday, and your boy has been feeling a little heavy lately. I've been walking around at like 163, maybe. Honestly, it was because I didn't think I was going to be competing. I thought to myself, you know, maybe I'll just sit out of this one. And I got kind of convinced to compete by my coach. And it's a good thing. I feel like, honestly, I would have been kind of disappointed myself if I didn't try. But now I'm kind of paying the price because I'm cutting all this weight, and I feel like it's impacting like how I work. Usually when I'm cutting weight and I'm working a 9-to-5 job, I don't really care, because like I'll get my work done, and I might be low energy, but like, you know, I got my paycheck coming in. When I'm cutting weight, like working like on code is so, it is so much more difficult. Cause I'm like starving. Like right now when this episode, the middle of the episode ended and then we heard the outro music, during that time, I like went up and then, I've been eating Greek yogurt with Quaker's granola. Like I'm sure most of you are on this wave already. But there's granola that you could get by like 2-pound bags. And it has like almonds, I think, barley, and granola. Is granola just granola? It also has raisins. And it's so fire. It's so good. I just put that on Greek yogurt and I put honey on it, and I call that a meal right now. And yesterday, last night, after like 4 hours of jiu-jitsu, all I had was Greek yogurt. I don't know why I'm trauma dumping on you guys right now. It's like you guys are like just starting your day and you're like hearing me complain, which is totally not like me, you know? Like, you know, I'm always positive, like, let's get this bread, guys. You know, grateful for this, and here I am just like saying, ah, man, I'm so hungry. Yeah, so I've been eating this granola and I've been eating Greek yogurt, and all I really want right now is just like a nice burger and fries with like a lot of ketchup. And I don't even like ketchup. I just, whenever I'm super hungry and like this, I just think that I'm just gonna douse it in ketchup and just take the biggest bite. So yeah, if you're working a 9-to-5 and you're on your way to work, maybe for lunch today, like go out for a burger and like just like eat it for me as tribute or something. Like, oh my god, that sounds so good right now. But the positive news is I'm on track to make weight, but tomorrow is just gonna be a really rough day because my weigh-in is on Saturday and I compete on Sunday. But I have one more entire day of this, and honestly, like, my fiance is not home right now because she's like drilling implants in Mexico, as she's like paying for like what's called continued education. And I would be very cranky at home, so you know, she FaceTimed me yesterday and I was like, dude, thank god you're not here, because I'd be so irritable. But yeah, so I'm going to compete on Sunday. I'm very excited for it. Very grateful that I have two arms and two legs to be able to compete, and that I have the drive and ambition to compete even though I might not win. Grateful for my spirit and my competitive aspect that helps me thrive. And I hope to just carry that on and instill that in my children if I'm lucky enough to have them one day. Cool. That felt like a mini prayer. What's next? I think there is much bigger news. Twitch numbers have been super up. My average numbers for Twitch are just all up. And I think that's just because of a lot of people returning to the market. A lot of people, I think, got destroyed in August. I've done like a mini sort of post in the Discord talking about how August, ever since the August sort of crash, our volume levels have not returned. A lot of people have stayed on the sidelines, and that's sort of what I think drove this melt up that we've had. Still a lot of money on the sides. We see that from like Warren Buffett as well, as he's building up this giant pile of cash because he doesn't see that much value in it. But yeah, it's just, I can tell more and more people are getting interested about stocks again, because again, it's not just the Twitch numbers, but it's also Thading.com numbers, user signups, more trades are being posted, and more website visits as well. I have a bit more of good news, but I'm actually just going to wait one more week before I talk about it. Oh, I'm seeing my parents soon. I'm visiting them next week. So I'll probably record still the next episode here at my apartment, but there's going to come a period where two episodes will most likely be recorded at my parents' house, and the stream will also be at my parents' house. So I might have the cat earphones on, or I might not, depending on if the wattage in my computer can handle it. My motherboard, for those that know, has a fried port. And I think it's because of low-key the headphones. But anyway, so that's going to be fun. I'm really excited to see my parents. Really excited to see my friends, to be honest. This is going to be the first time I see one of my friends that lived in New York for a long time. And this is the first time back in a long time. So we're going to obviously meet up. I'm going to try to hang out with him as much as possible. I think he has a lot of insight into just, I don't know, how to live life. Man, that guy has all the looks in the world. He's a handsome dude. Handsome dude. Went to Berkeley for art. And he's super smart. One of the smartest people I ever met. He could have gone into any major, done anything he wanted, and ended up doing art at Berkeley. What a gangster. So yeah, that was, I don't know. It's just gonna be a really, really good time. And I feel like now that I'm doing, you know, Theta Gang full time, I have just much more time to spend with my parents. And this trip home will be, I think, legendary, just primarily because I'm also getting married next year. And that's when, you know, parental visits get kind of weird, because you're like, oh, does your partner have to go? Can you go alone? Who gets who for holidays? And this is the last time I think I'll be visiting my parents as a single dude, at least, you know, legally single dude. And that'd be kind of cool. Gonna try and make the most of it. I have plans to take my parents out for breakfast, and visit, I don't know, just all my relatives, visit everyone that's like at the cemetery too, because I didn't do that last time I went. I kind of feel bad. So I'll get to do that. I think that's it. I think that's it. Honestly, besides this like whole hunger thing, I'm feeling really good. I'm in really good spirits. The stock market right now is super easy. I'm trying to jinx it. If you can't read between the lines, I'm trying to jinx it very hard. I think the stock market right now is incredibly easy. I think just because, you know, the market's gone up so much, all you had to do is bet bullish things and you would have been fine, or not panic, or do any of these things that are very, quote, easy to do. Just don't panic. Just don't sell. But of course, that's the hard part, right? We all think that it's really easy when you take things into your own hands. When the market's up, yeah, just buy stock and hold on to it. That's easy. But when you actually want to get good, when you actually want to start doing newer strategies, it's a little bit more tough to then just be bullish when the market is bullish. Because what happens if the market is bearish for a long time? Does your system account for, you know, drawdowns that are long lasting? Can you beat the market under, you know, very red conditions? And a lot of that's just going to have to do with how much money do you make when the market's green? Do you make enough when the market's green to offset maybe even red years? That'd be awesome. But I think credit should be given where credit is due. You know, I think no matter how green a market is, no matter how good a stock is, it takes some amount of skill to just really hone in on a stock. Like, for example, one that I haven't traded much at all, one that's taken off, is Palantir. And I, no matter how much I want to think that Palantir is easy to trade because it's just gone up, you know, if you zoom out far enough, it looks like it's only gone up. But there are a lot of period of times where it's gone down as well. I could say the same about Nvidia too. Nvidia was also affected by April. It was also affected by August, where it's gone down almost $100 a share. So it's tough, man. Even if the stock market makes it look like it's easy, okay? You know, I was just trying to jinx it. I was saying that the stock market is easy, but Even when people, you know, want to just say, oh, of course you're up for this year because the market's green. Dude, most people that take trading into their own hands lose. And by lose, I mean like less money than they started in their account when they initially opened. Tom Hoogard for Best Loser Wins says 90% of people lose by that definition. So if you have a higher account balance than when you started this year on your individual account, call yourself a winner. Because you only have room to improve here. My IRA is up like some absurd percentage. It's like up like 37% now, I think. Like last I checked, like a few days ago. And that's just this year, which is crazy. But that's the boring stuff. That's the stuff that's supposed to win. That's the stuff that you just like keep doing. That's whatever. Again, taking trading into your own hands is a whole nother beast. And it's not as simple as saying, oh, the stock market's up. Of course you're up. When you take trading into your own hands, when you're not just buying and holding, it's a lot tougher. So hopefully we stay in touch. You keep listening to the podcast. I still record the podcast. And we continue this journey on together. I'll see you guys next episode. Bye-bye.